This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. In 2014, Quakers in Olympia started a new underground railroad. Like the 19th century underground railroad, which brought slaves north to freedom, the Quakers are escorting gay, lesbian, and transgender people out of Uganda, a country where they face imprisonment, attacks, and death threats. In February, Uganda enacted a law that severely criminalized homosexual acts. Uganda even made it a crime to counsel a gay person. This new law came after American evangelical leaders visited Uganda to lobby for harsher punishment for gays. Talcott Broadhead is a Quaker in Olympia who helps to facilitate the Friends New Underground Railroad. She said the law in Uganda is uniquely severe.
This is by far the most brutal and violent. It calls for the imprisonment of people who are thought to be gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. Unfortunately, with the law itself came the message that violence against these individuals was now state-sanctioned. And so what we're finding is not so much imprisonment being the gravest threat, but rather this mob mentality. Ugandans, many of them, have been somewhat manipulated by the rhetoric of these evangelical pastors to believe that they're actually doing God's work by ridding the communities of queer folks.
Why have you and other members of a Quaker group here in the Northwest gotten involved with this movement in Uganda?
Back in March, I received a phone call from Levi Coffin. Levi is somebody who's involved in international humanitarian work. Because of his work in Uganda, he can't be affiliated by his legal name, because if he were, then his other humanitarian work would be discredited and asked to leave. He had been approached by a colleague in Uganda, a Ugandan colleague, somebody who is straight, who had some really grave concerns about the climate of public sentiment at that time. And it was ramping up really fast. So Levi asked, well, what do you think we should do? And the response was, we need to get them out of here. Their lives were at risk. And so he let us know that he thought he had a way to get them out. And as a humanitarian activist, he had many other contacts besides Levi all over the world. So he assured us that if he could get them to a second country, that he had somebody there ready to receive, that he had already vetted. And that's when Levi contacted me, and it was just without hesitance that I knew we had to do it. The first question, of course, that we were asked when we brought this to the Olympia Friends meeting that we attend was, how do we know this isn't a scam? How do you know? How can you tell? You know, there's a lot of stories about scams.
A lot of people might have been wanting to leave Uganda for any number of reasons.
Of course, saying they're gay. You know, maybe their economic opportunities are few. And so we began in April a very intensive process of vetting all of the individuals who we were working with as conductors, as well as the stories of the, up till then, I believe it was 12 people that we had helped move out of Uganda. And we went so far, as tacky and difficult as it was to request, photographs of the people's beatings. Everything matched. We went to third-party sources, other NGOs, social service networks, both in country and abroad, who had worked with or served any of these individuals, and everything matched.
Talcott Broadhead is with us, and she's with the Friends New Underground Railroad. They've been helping hundreds of LGBTQ people get out of Uganda, where they're facing serious oppression. Tell us a little bit about how it works. How do you get people from there to here?
The people who are doing this are queer and straight allies. They're Africans on the ground in Uganda, Africans helping Africans. To use the nomenclature associated with the Underground Railroad, people who we work with that are actually ferrying folks, finding avenues for escape, we're referring to as conductors. We have three conductors, not enough. And sadly, one of them we recently lost to severe violence because it became known that he was supporting people. He was brutally beaten, and we had to medically evacuate him to another country. None of the hospitals on the ground in Uganda would serve our conductor, though he was in dire condition after a brutal beating. And so we had to arrange for a medical evacuation to a second country.
Is he okay?
He's okay now. He's still recovering. And we are at this point working on him receiving asylum to a third country because it's no longer safe for him to go back to Uganda.
So it's unsafe for the conductors who are
Absolutely.
Getting these folks out. Is it unsafe for them to even attempt to leave? Is this so surreptitious that there's no getting of a visa or any kind of official contact about leaving?
So what's happening with these folks is there's not as much planning as we might like. People are being outed on radio stations. In Easter, the bishop of Jinja made an announcement calling for all churches and seminaries to reject queer and trans youth and adults, and in fact, to publicly shame them. So even children who were suspected because maybe they were boys who were effeminate were then thrown out of school. Now we have state-sanctioned and church-sanctioned violence against queer folks. So what we're finding is the passengers who come to us have fled for their lives when they find our conductors. They frequently have nothing but the clothes on their backs. One of our passengers returned home to try to kind of surreptitiously retrieve his passport, and he was caught and he was burned to death publicly.
What's the avenue then for getting out of the country?
So the avenue, I can't tell you. I have to be very cautious.
Is it by air? Is it by land?
It's not by air. The reason why it's complicated to discuss is because this is happening right now in this moment, and we need to preserve the avenues that we have so that we can move more people.
Have any of the LGBTQ people who you've been trying to escort out of the country been stopped while they were on this avenue on the way out?
We're batting 1,000. We've attempted to move 159 people, and as of last night, we've moved 159 people.
You're based in Olympia, but where are they being resettled?
So we have, as of last night, 9 people have been resettled to Sweden, 9 to Canada, 6 to South Africa, 29 to other European countries, and the rest are in the process of having their asylum requests processed.
I'm talking to Talca Broadhead. She's a Quaker social worker, and she's helping people who are LGBTQ get out of Uganda, where they're facing some serious oppression. Next door is Kenya. It's a strongly Quaker country, and this is a Quaker movement you're describing. Are the Quakers in Kenya helping?
What you need to know is not all Quakers are liberal like us. We're considered radical. Quakers are associated with social justice, but not all meetings embrace the same movements. The individual who is responsible for the station in Nairobi is somebody who is actually from a European country. Because we've vetted that station and it's a good fit, we at this moment haven't needed to expand into finding other stations in Kenya. I would be so excited to hear Kenyan Quakers adopting, you know, as meetings, the Underground Railroad also.
There's certainly a human obligation to helping people who are being oppressed and killed and because of their sexuality. But is there an additional element here, because it was American evangelical religious groups that have helped to feed this fervor in Uganda against these folks, does that put an additional responsibility on members of the American religious community to try to fix what's been done?
I believe it does. I also believe that there's a special obligation upon anyone affiliated with the legacy of colonialism or has a settler history. As a white American, particularly, apart from my own religious affiliation, I do feel obligated, but I need to be cautious and recognize that I'm here to do what the folks being affected and impacted ask me to do, not what I think they should do and not what I want to do.
What's the future for gay people in Uganda? Will they always be having to escape through the means that you're providing? Is there any possibility of a change in sentiment there toward them?
I know that lifting people up out of a crisis like this is definitely not the answer to gay rights and trans rights in Uganda. It's an emergency situation that we can't ignore, and we wish we didn't have to do it, but it's what we can do right now. And I can't judge people for wanting to survive. So for those who aren't staying in country to work amongst perhaps legal and avenues of justice to effect that change, I won't judge them for leaving.
How can those of us who are just kind of horrified with what's going on there help?
Our leverage and access here in the United States really is a financial one. It costs $55 right now for us to essentially assist a queer Ugandan in escaping with their life. $55, if you can imagine, that's the cost of one LGBT life in Uganda. For many people, that's a coffee a day for 10 days. Right now, we have an emergent need. We have 25 people in a shelter that's about to be burned, to use a term from World War II Quakers. The area where we're safe sheltering them is no longer safe because there's about to be an evangelical gathering in that area within 3 days. So we need to move them as soon as we can into a second country.
Talcott Broadhead is a Quaker in Olympia working to shuttle persecuted LGBTQ people out of Uganda. So far, they've helped rescue 159 people. Her group is called the Friends New Underground Railroad. There's a link to their website at kuow.org.